Our next case today is number 072471, Abu Samour against the Attorney General. Mr. Block.
Good morning, Your Honors. Attorney Harold Block on behalf of the appellant. This is an immigration case, and it doesn't have as complex a factual history as some do, but I think it is an important case as we have appealed it in the respect that in this instance, I believe there was very clearly a violation of basic due process rights on the part of the U.S. citizen petitioner for the appellant. The history is that the appellant was put into removal proceedings, married a United States citizen. She filed an immigrant visa petition. Initially, the immigration judge at the initial hearing would not grant a continuance to have the visa petition considered by CIS, which is a prerequisite. When you're in removal proceedings, before a judge can even consider adjustment of status, the visa petition has to be approved solely by CIS. In this instance, then, typically the request is made for a continuance to allow that to happen. The judge initially wouldn't do it. He did give 120 days voluntary departure and indicated, if we could provide evidence to him, that this marriage relationship had a bona fide nature, that he would reopen it. That's what happened. We did. He reopened it. From there, we went on to the first master calendar date in July of 2005. The CIS office in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, interviewed the parties on the marriage on August 1st of 2005. The next scheduled date to consider the status on this was in February of 2006. At that time, Milwaukee CIS still had not rendered any type of adjudication on that I-130 petition, so the judge granted another continuance to April. At that time, or shortly before that time, on March 22nd, CIS did issue a notice of denial decision. I had asked them to please adjudicate it in late December because the court was waiting. When they did deny it, the denial simply referred to completely non-record evidence. It recited a, quote, sworn statement that the beneficiary made to an immigration officer, but they provided no evidence of a sworn statement. They provided nothing. They provided no preliminary indication that this was what they were going to base their decision on. As a matter of fact, the first time that it came up was when it appeared in the denial decision. Now, we had had an interview in August, and the parties had been asked questions. They had submitted documents, including several affidavits. The examiner had opportunity to question them about things about the marriage. And nonetheless, none of those things were recited whatsoever in the denial decision. It was simply the non-record statement that supposedly appeared, for which we were never given any notice. Under the regulations and under the handbook for immigration, when there is the presence of some type of negative evidence that they're supposed to provide an opportunity to rebut that and to address it.
But, counsel, that matter is not presently procedural posture. That's on administrative appeal? Or is that not the case?
Theoretically, it's on administrative appeal.
What's the status of that?
Well, I don't know what the status is. It's never been adjudicated. What happened with the administrative appeal, which was filed before the hearing in which the judge denied a continuance, was that Milwaukee CIS never forwarded the appeal to the Washington, D.C. office, or the Falls Church, Virginia office of BIA. They may have within the last several months. I'm not certain of that, but they never did since the time that it was filed in March of 2006. Therefore, there is no way to appeal the decision effectively because they just simply didn't forward it where the appeal has to take place. In that respect, our argument has been and was when we addressed this issue with the immigration judge that the fact that we were never given an opportunity to respond to negative influence, negative inferences, was a violation of the regulations. And also the fact that in the denial decision there was absolutely no mention whatsoever.
You're referring to the
denial by CIS.
Right, which is not before the court.
Well,
so,
right.
You know, that's what your argument is focusing on.
You're correct about that.
What you've got here is a denial. You're seeking review of a denial of a continuance.
Yes.
Which is not reviewable. There's no jurisdiction.
In my estimation, it is reviewable because in this instance, it doesn't fall within the guidelines of the Qureshi decision. As a matter of fact, it was called to the attention of the judge, the due process violations that occurred in the adjudication process, the fact that we had filed an administrative appeal, and so this case is clearly distinguishable from Qureshi because in Qureshi, the applicant had missed the time to administratively appeal, number one, and in this instance, it was appealed. This is not, our appeal was not time barred, and in our case, there were these regulatory violations that CIS is supposed to follow. And so when I asked the judge to grant this in his discretion for good cause, he ignored those factors. And it's my position on this that by ignoring those factors, he didn't exercise discretion. He didn't, in terms of determining good cause. As a matter of fact, he ignored the infirmities that existed in the process, notwithstanding the fact that I brought them specifically to his attention at the time of that hearing.
But you're not addressing the jurisdictional question that I posed.
Okay, the jurisdictional question is that under the Real ID Act, Your Honor, the court has jurisdiction when there are constitutional infirmities in matters of question of law. And in this case, there are clear constitutional infirmities. And those infirmities include the very fact that they violated the Code of Federal Regulations in the way in which they did it, and that creates a question here about the denial of due process. A U.S. citizen spouse is supposed to have a fair adjudication of the visa petition on behalf of her husband.
What's that assumption that he's a U.S. citizen?
No, the petitioner is a U.S. citizen, Your Honor. The wife is a U.S. citizen. And she was filing on behalf of her husband.
But that's an argument addressed to the decision of CIS, which is not presently before this court. What's presently before this court is the denial of a continuance, and it's very clear in this circuit that that is not reviewable. We have no jurisdiction. Jurisdiction has been stripped.
I don't believe that the jurisdiction-stripping statute is applicable in this case for the very reason that I say that under the Real ID Act, jurisdiction remains with the court. It, clearly, specifically, it remains with the court. And in this case, I believe that it's clear that there was that kind of violation. On the basis of that, I believe that this case is separate and distinct from the decision of Qureshi, and that, in fact, the BIA continued to violate that in the way in which they completely ignored the issue also. Therefore, I believe that the jurisdiction is not stripped from the court in this case for those reasons. And I'll reserve any other time I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Block. We'll hear now from Mr. Durant.
Good morning. My name is Ted Durant. I represent the United States. First things first, the jurisdictional issue, as the court may be aware, the Department of Justice does believe that the court has jurisdiction to review a denial of continuance. Circuit precedent, particularly Iqbal Ali, the case from 2007, says that the court does not. Assuming that this court finds that that it may entertain Mr. Abu Samor's continuance under the Subhan exception that it notes, the judge acted within his considerable discretion when he denied Mr. Abu Samor's request for an additional continuance. To put this case in perspective,
what's your argument for revisiting Ali?
The government is not asking the court to overrule itself. The government is just stating its position. Under circuit precedent, the court does not have jurisdiction to entertain this.
End of story. Unless you're asking us to revisit Ali.
I'm asking you to revisit Ali, Your Honor.
Okay.
You have joined the petition in Potdar, have you not?
I'm sorry, sir?
Did you not join the petition for rehearing in Potdar?
I believe we did, Your Honor, but I don't want to do that.
That's still under advisement, is it not?
I believe so, sir. But there is that Subhan exception, Your Honor, in the Ali case that they note at the end, where the alien, the visa petition was pending, and the judge denied a continuance for no reason at all.
That's not this case.
Yes, Your Honor. If the court has no further questions, I will conclude. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Durant.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Block have? Sir, you have 2 minutes.
Again, the question of jurisdiction, I believe, is not answered completely at this time by any of those decisions that would seem to argue that the court does not have jurisdiction. I believe the Real ID Act makes it very clear that the court does have this jurisdiction, and I believe that there is an ample demonstration of considerable infirmities in the process that make it a constitutional question. And given the fact that the immigration judge was apprised of those factors and is entitled to exercise his discretion and is supposed to exercise his discretion for good cause for continuance, I believe that clearly showed that there was good cause to continue this matter, at least for the purpose of allowing the appeal to be addressed in some fashion.
So you're really attacking the immigration judge's exercise of discretion?
I am, Your Honor.
Which falls squarely within the jurisdiction stripping provision of the statute. That's not a constitutional argument. That's a request for review of a discretionary decision of an IJ.
Well, it seems to me that if an IJ is supposed to follow constitutional mandates that are incorporated in the process, we've argued considerably that those mandates exist in this case and that he ignored them. I don't believe then that he is simply entitled to exercise his discretion by simply saying it's been denied. I don't think you can ignore that. I think that's a constitutional violation that does, in fact, bestow jurisdiction on the court. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.